you know, if we start just really breaking down the business and we're like, well, you know, we're averaging 10 leads a day. And that in turn got us, and it's not like rocket science. I want people to realize it sounds more complicated than this, but it's like as simple as saying, well, we got 10 leads a day and that led us to making, you know, whatever, 100,000 for the month. You know, so like you'll have to figure that out as you go along, but you do need to know the input of volume that you need to get the output that you're looking for.
You're listening to the Active Duty Passive Income Podcast, the number one resource for active duty, veterans, and their families who want to learn how to build real wealth through real estate investing. Each week, we sit down with top military real estate investors, industry experts, and leaders who share their secrets to success in the real estate game. Now, get off your ass, get motivated, and take action to make your financial freedom dreams a reality.
Huge news, ADPI Nation. For years now, I've been working on a secret mini Manhattan project designed to provide our community of over 70,000 military real estate investors with unfettered access to commercial real estate projects. Well, I'm proud to announce that ADPI Capital's Equity Fund 1 is officially live and currently accepting qualified passive investors. In today's economic uncertainty, it's super important to have a diversified portfolio of hard assets working for you. And if you think your money is safe just chilling in the TSP, consider this. Over the past 15 years, commercial real estate has outperformed top market investment indices and IRAs. With minimum investments starting at just $500, it's never been easier for the military community to earn passive income with commercial real estate. Text ADPI to 33777 or head on over to www.adpicapital.com to learn how you can get started with Equity Fund 1 today. The securities herein offered by this issuer, as herein above mentioned, are highly speculative. Investing in such securities involves significant risk, including possible loss of the principal amount of investment.
What is going on, ADPI Nation? We have a very, very special guest for you today on the Active Duty Passive Income Podcast. My name, as you know, is Kevin Brenner. And actually, we kind of got two guests going on right now. So if you're watching this on YouTube, you can see two faces instead of, or three faces instead of two faces. Oh my God, what's going on? Joining us today, not only is superstar entrepreneur Ryan Pineda. If you haven't heard of him, then I don't know. I guess like you might not have heard of social media at all because he's everywhere. He is everywhere doing everything. But his story is so interesting. And then there's so much in parallel with this, with his story and Markion's story. Markion Sitch, the CEO of, you know, Active Duty Passive Income. We had to bring Markion on board this podcast to talk about that. And really, this episode, it's for those looking to maybe start a business. And they want to know, you know, those steps to take and how to really create something from the ground up, even if that thing seems just way out there. Like you're looking down the you don't even have a light at the end of the tunnel, but you got to get started. So we're going to be talking about from two experienced entrepreneurs, how to get started and how they've shifted and built their businesses with the ebb and flow of the market, which I think is a very timely topic looking at the market right now. So just note that you're listening to this podcast, everyone starts somewhere. And the most important part is starting. And both Ryan and Markion took that leap of faith, believed in themselves, and started something and built it to something that's super, super great. So we'll start, Ryan. First off, thanks for being on the show, man. And I mean, I'm counting here, you own at least 9 different companies. How did that start? You just wake up one day and you're like, yeah, a lot of businesses.
Yeah, we're just constantly, it seems like every month, adding a new one now that we're in acquisition mode as well. So it's kind of interesting.
Yeah, so let's start, you know, kind of your background, because from my understanding, you started as a minor league baseball player. You're an athlete.
Yeah.
You started there, and what was the first business, and why did you think that you needed to just continue to grow and grow and grow?
Yeah, you know, I never thought of myself as an entrepreneur. I was just always a guy who wanted to play sports. And so, you know, thankfully, as I was climbing up through the ranks in Little League and high school and everything else, I got a D1 college scholarship, and then I got drafted by the Oakland A's in 2010. And so I knew as a minor leaguer, I wasn't going to make much money until hopefully I get to the big leagues. You know, people don't know, but at that time, I was making $7,000 a year as a minor leaguer. And whoa. So, yeah, I didn't have any money. And my signing bonus wasn't big. So I had to figure out how to survive while pursuing a dream. And so I got my real estate license in 2010 as well to kind of like make some side income. And I would say like that was kind of my first business. I mean, I didn't really take it seriously or treat it like a business. I was just like, eh, if somebody wants to use me, cool. If not, whatever. And, you know, I did that for a couple of years and I hated being a realtor. I probably made like 15 to 20 grand a year as a realtor. So
three times your baseball salary.
Yeah, I was killing it there. which people did think that was a lot of money for my base. They're like, bro, you made $3,000 on a check? That's amazing. I was like, yeah, it's pretty good. And so
you got all the swagger walking in the locker room. You're like, yeah, let's
go. I'm like, I made money just now. Like, it's pretty crazy. But no, I hated it. And I eventually quit it. And so, you know, after a couple of years, I ended up getting married and my wife and I furnish our little apartment together because we're still broke. And I bought all the furniture on Craigslist and I spent about $1,000 on that furniture. And I just remember sitting there. I mean, I was 24 years old at that time. She had just turned 21. And I was like, you know, I got such good deals on this furniture. I bet you I could like resell it for $3,000. And it kind of was a light bulb moment for me just looking at it. And I was like, well, why do I got to sell my furniture? Why don't I just do that and buy more furniture and sell it? And nobody was doing it. There was no like YouTube talking about this stuff. There was no reels or TikToks. I was just right. Like, I think this actually might work. And I just tested. I was like, you know what? I'm going to go buy a couch and see what happens. So I went on Craigslist, found another good deal, bought this couch for like $50. And I brought it in the house. And my wife is like, why do you have another couch? Like, there's no more room and we have a couch. And I was like, trust me, I'm going to like, I think I can flip
become a hoarder.
Yeah, I just addicted to buying couches. And
the couch
I
ended up.
I didn't tell you that in our vows when that wasn't in there.
This is, now that we live together, this is something you need to know about me. Like, I have to have 12 couches in the house.
Yeah.
So we ended up buying it. And a couple of days later, I sold it and made $200. And I was like, wow, like the light bulb went off. And I was like, what if I just bought one a day? I mean, that's $6,000 a month. And so that's what I did. You know, after like literally selling the first couch, I was bought in. I was like, you know what? I'm buying a truck. I'm spending $1,500. And I bought a truck on Craigslist. I, you know, rented a storage unit for like $150. And I was like, I'm buying as many couches as the storage unit lets me fit. And that was my first real business, you know, was couch flipping. And, you know, that business went from, you know, I was making $1,000 that first month to 2,000 the next month to 4,000 the month after. Then eventually I got it to $8,000 a month. And I had like multiple storage units. I ended up trading up trucks. I sold my crappy truck. I sold the car I had and just bought, you know, a 2004 Toyota Tundra that became like my everything car/truck and work vehicle. And yeah, man, that was my first successful, you know, dive into entrepreneurship.
Mm. So it's interesting. And Mark, and I want your perspective on this because you took the leap of faith, you know, like you said, your situation, it kind of sucked. And you know, there's so many parallels for folks in the military. I mean, you're talking $7,000 a year. So for all the E2s and E3s listening to this, you're getting paid way more than that. Not much more, but you're getting paid more than $7,000 a year, hands down. So, you know, you're out there. The struggle is real. And you said, how can I change my situation? And I think there's something to be said, and I said this before in other podcasts, Ryan, betting on yourself. And Markian, I want to get into your headspace now, because for you to launch Active Duty Passive Income, what leap of faith did you, was there a similar kind of parallel or leap of faith that you had to look in, you know, what was your couch moment when you're looking or you're looking at this furniture and saying,
I actually had a couch moment, here. Ryan, I was sitting on the couch too. I was a big fan of Pat Flynn, still am. And his website is Smart Passive Income. And I still know the exact episodes I listened to learn, hey, I should build an email list. This is a thing. You know, and I was sitting there and one of my mentors was like, hey man, like why do you want to teach people like all this online side hustle stuff? You don't do that every day. What you do is real estate with your parents, it sounds like. Why don't you teach people that? And I was like, well, nobody's in the military cares about real estate. Everybody in the military, just so you know, Ryan, is more like, well, not everybody. It's just, it seems like that when you step in. You get indoctrinated into this mindset like, hey, our version of the 401k called a TSP, that's all you do. If you can, if you're lucky, you wait till 20 years and you get some kind of pension. That's it. That's, and then you're going to have to get another job because that pension's only half of what your paycheck was. And like, you know, that's it. And so I was trying to marry real estate investing, which I had the aha moment from Robert Kiyosaki, like many of us do, and starting a side hustle. And I was sitting on the couch and I was like, well, I'm active duty. I want to make passive income. I was like, active duty, passive income. But what if I just blog, and what if I'm just a crash test dummy and I teach people what I'm doing? I suck at this still. Like my first few deals were not that great. Like the first apartment me and my parents bought, like, didn't really cash flow for the first year, you know, because I was dragged through the mud on a bunch of deals. And finally, I just wanted to close on one, which obviously I was a little bit overzealous and overpaid. And so I had to pay for that. But now it's worth at least $1 million over what we paid for it. You know what I mean? So I think what stood out to me was, and this is what I think a lot of people don't recognize. And Ryan, I'm curious how you think about this. You got it to $8,000. To a lot of people right now listening, this probably sounds like a lot of money, right? Like $8,000 a month could be life-changing for someone. But in reality, like, it wasn't rocket science what you did, right? Like, you had to do it. That is the most difficult part. Like, you had to commit to it. But like, for some reason, I think like, people think that making $8,000 is super hard. But if you don't have a W-2 and all you do is dedicate to making $200 a day, like you did or whatever, you can,
yep,
you can do it.
100%.
Right? So
100%. There's lots of ways to make $200 a day. And I think that's what's helpful too, is when you're starting a business, you know, it's easy to be like, oh, I want to make $1 million or I want to make $100,000, whatever like that number is. But like, right, to me, I broke it down into a very actionable thing where it was like, if I buy one couch a day, I know I can make $200 a day. And that ends up making me, you know, 6,000. And if I buy two couches a day, then I make 400 a day. And that makes me this. And so like, when I was only flipping houses, which we can get into as well, you know, I would always think about, man, we weren't getting deals every day, but I'm like, man, if I get this many deals a week, like, we're going to make this much money. It's just the math of how business works.
Right. Was it like, do you like using the term like lead and lag metric sometimes? Like, you know, you do this many actions, like you were able to reverse engineer what you needed to do to finally get to that one a day maybe, right?
Yeah. You know, it's funny. On Tuesday, I do my calls with our students, and I was talking to them about quarterly planning because we had just gone over, you know, our Q2 plans. And I just went over how we teach it and how we do it. And, you know, one of the things we always look at are, you know, leading and lagging indicators, right? And so, you know, like the lagging indicator would be, hey, what goals did we set in Q1? And like, did they actually happen as we look back at Q2? You know, and so we're going to look and we're saying, okay, well, yeah, we did get that many deals, or we did make that much revenue, whatever, right? But, you know, as we set our Q2 goals, we got to say, man, okay, what leading indicators led to whatever Q1's results were, and how do we have to tweak those to get Q2's results? And so, you know, if we start just really breaking down the business and we're like, well, you know, we're averaging 10 leads a day. And that in turn got us, and it's not like rocket science. I want people to realize it sounds more complicated than this, but it's like as simple as saying, well, we got 10 leads a day and that led us to making, you know, whatever, $100,000 for the month. If we want to make $200,000, I mean, ideally, we got to probably get at least 20 leads a day. Now, there's things that happen. It's not a perfect correlation. You may realize like, oh, well, we have some kind of diminishing returns. We really need 25. Or, hey, 20 does work, but we need to hire another salesperson. And, you know, so like you'll have to figure that out as you go along. But you do need to know the input of volume that you need to get the output that you're looking for.
Yeah. And then I bet the more input you started having, the more practice, the quality of your output was optimized, right? Like you're probably getting a few more home runs than you used to, right?
Oh, 100%. Right. And, you know, you realize what works and you're like, let me do more of that. You know, when I first started making social media content, we were talking about that earlier, I didn't have the input or the output that I have today. I was like, you know, I'm gonna make like a couple of YouTube videos a week, because that's more than most people anyway. Like, that's a lot. And I'm gonna do like one TikTok a day, that which is already way more than everyone else. Like, that's a lot of input. And I did that and I saw the output. I was like, wow, my businesses are exploding. Like, my follower count's exploding. I'm getting more views. I was like, what would happen if I like doubled? What if I went from 2 videos a week on YouTube to 4? What would happen if I did 2 TikToks a day? And so I tried it. I was like, let's change the input and see what the output is. And then sure enough, it exploded again. I was like, what would happen if I posted 4 TikToks a day? You know, as long as I'm capable of doing it time-wise and money-wise and, you know, everything else. And so you just keep testing and testing to see, you know, until you really reach like that zone that you're happy with. And so I think we're kind of at that zone, at least on the social media side, where it's like, yeah, I can't post 100 videos a day, you know, on Reels. But, you know, we've actually, you know what? I take that back, because we're going to actually experiment with something new that I've seen people doing. I actually watched it from Andrew Tate, where it's like, yeah, sure, my account can only post this many videos, but why can't I have 20 other accounts posting my videos too and getting the reach that way? So yeah. Like, I'm even like questioning my own beliefs all the time.
Yeah. So that's kind of like a multipliers effect there. Right. And I think so with our, I started like a little internal kind of mastermind, just like whenever I have time. It's not like a dedicated project yet, but you know, with our team and some of our the agents in our network and lenders, I'm like, hey, you guys can use my content as the topics of conversation and recreate it, or just repost it, or in like, multiply our message. And you know, maybe even as I'm crash test dummying myself through how to create more content like you are at scale, I want to then turn around and immediately teach our team, right? So because now we're gonna have 3 podcasts, or the 3 YouTube channels, for example, to your point. Like, we have the main one where it's gonna be my face to keep the branding, then we have another one that's gonna be Kevin on the podcast, where this one's gonna be, we're gonna try to multiply the output on more modalities, but also more channels in the same modality, to your point, more profiles, right? So I think that, yeah, that's going to be interesting. I'm curious to see how that'll work out for you. I'm sure, I mean, can't hurt testing it out, that's for sure.
Yeah. The only thing it'll hurt is your wallet. You know, if it doesn't work out, you know, you spend a lot of money doing that. But, you know, whatever. Whoops, sorry, guys. I was actually pulling up your YouTube channel while you were talking about it.
Okay. And that was playing in the background. So we weren't lying. The YouTube channel does exist. So go on.
Yeah, I'm like, all right, let's see what their one YouTube channel's got going on and what they're going to do with the next one. I'm always analyzing.
Don't look at the podcast one, because we have like 4 subscribers. So if you're listening to this podcast, go subscribe to our YouTube channel, people. Actually, I think we're up to 30. I don't know. But Ryan, I mean,
what if we dive into that a little bit? Oh, sorry, Kevin.
Well, no, I want to bring this back tactical and practical for our listeners, right? Because they're seeing you, ex-baseball player, turn couch flipper, turn house flipper, and at some point you decided to get out of your own way. And we've talked about business not being that. You know, everyone puts entrepreneurs on this pedestal, and it's really, really difficult, and to make it to the top, and it's really, really, you know, business is super hard. But ultimately, every business that I've been in and been a part of, it's a series of systems. It's a series of levers that you have to pull, like you were talking about. You know, manage your input to figure out your output. You have these levers that you're pulling, and trying to figure out, you know, how to make that happen. For the real estate investors listening to this podcast, why did you decide to scale into other side businesses, educational businesses, private equity and funds and all of this, and leave something that you've kind of were familiar with from the flipping business? Like, what was it that made you go and say, okay, I've reached critical mass, let's move to something else?
Yeah.
Yeah, good question. So, you know, my first success, well, couch flipping was my first successful business. You know, house flipping was what happened next, and it's what made me a millionaire and like really developed my business acumen, you know, and so that was all I focused on. You know, I don't want, like, people have the misconception, because they'll watch my stuff now and they'll be like, oh, well, I need lots of businesses and lots of streams of income. And, you know, that's what Ryan has. And that's what I'm going to do. And I'm like, well, look, the reality is the first 5 years of my business career, I only focused on house flipping. That was it. I didn't focus on social media. I didn't focus on, you know, education or tax business or any of this stuff. Like, I was just like, how do I become the best house flipper I can possibly be, right? And, you know, I did that. Eventually, in a couple of years, we scaled to doing over 100 flips a year. And we still do that today. Like, I still have my house flipping business, and it still does millions of dollars a year in revenue. I just am not involved with it anymore. So, you know, at the end of the day, what happened for me was, you know, I'm flipping all these houses and I'm having success. I'm learning how to run a business, and a lot of new opportunities start emerging, because once you have success, there's always like success breeds success. And so you start to notice more things. Well, like one of the first ones was, people were like, well, dude, teach me how you flip houses. And I'm like, man, I don't want to be a guru. Like, I'm so busy doing my own business and stuff, and gurus have a bad stigma and whatever. But I was like, you know what? I'll just make a course and write a book. So that's what I did. 2018, I wrote my first book and I put out a course, and that was it. I didn't market it. I didn't do anything. I was just like, hey, if you want it, you really want to learn how to flip houses, you know, either read the book, which costs like nothing, or buy this course. I didn't have any coaching. Eventually, you know, basically for like 2 years, that was what I did. I never took education serious because I didn't want to coach and I just didn't really care. In 2020, you know, I ended up starting, and so this is like 5 years into my house flipping career. I'd already done a ton of stuff. You know, the demand for it was growing a lot. People were just like, dude, coach us, coach us. Then also people were like, hey, who does your taxes? Like, we need help with accounting and bookkeeping and all this stuff. We don't know where to go. I was like, all right, well, here's what I'm going to do. You know, I already got this like side hustle education business. It was making me like 30 to 50 grand a year as like a side hustle. I'm like, I'm going to start coaching now and make it a real business. And I'm also going to open up a tax firm. And, you know, I have a partner who's a CPA and he's legit. He's been doing my stuff now for the last couple of years. And so, you know, basically my theory was, people from education will end up buying tax. It's like, if we teach them how to make money on the flips and everything, they will buy tax. And so that's basically what happened. You know, in 2020, you know, the education business went from, you know, like 50K in 2019 to 700K in 2020. Because I actually took it serious. And also too, I got on social media that year. And so, you know, I knew it was going to amplify. But, you know, from that, a lot of our students started using our tax company. And so the tax company grew a little bit. I didn't really make money from the tax company in 2020, but, you know, it was all right. You know, as we go into 2021, social media is starting to really like take off. And, you know, I'm starting to understand the education business even more. So we open up like new products and services, and, you know, it ends up scaling to like, I think almost $4 million that year. And then the tax company, you know, basically almost hit $1 million in year two. And then, you know, as we went into last year, you know, the education company almost did like 10 million and the tax company did multiple millions. And, you know, both are, you know, got eight figure companies. That tax company will be eight figures. And, you know, it's just like, I didn't want to start a tax firm or an education company. It was just the demand for it was so strong that it was like, I kind of have to. Because if everybody's asking you for this thing and you have it and you can provide it, like, why not? And so that's kind of that's how it first started. And then every business thereafter has kind of been a variation of that, where it's like, man, I keep hearing this demand in the marketplace. Obviously, nobody's solving it. People are asking me about it. I might as well do it. You know, like our most recent one, company we just launched called Pineda Media. And that's where we do content for entrepreneurs. Like, we do it all for them. We film with them. We edit for them. We post for them. We help them come up with ideas. We do all of it. And the reason was, everybody's like, dude, how do you create content? Like, I'm ready. Like, I see social media is where it's at. They're like, I don't know where to find an editor. I don't know where to get ideas. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I'm doing it right. And I'm like, all right, you know what? We'll just create this business because we do know how to do it.
Right. Yeah. And it's interesting to me, and it very not dissimilar to what ADPI, and Mark, I'll get to you to get your input on this, you know, how we scaled. And so it sounds like in you know, your efforts of growing your flipping business, people started asking questions. And Ryan, before we get to Morgan, did you purposely build a community around your flipping business, or were like, at some point you're just like, hey, let me write this book to you know, offer people as a lead magnet or something to get into my sphere. And then they started asking questions. What was the order of that?
Yeah. So, I mean, really, the only reason I started education, because I was honestly tired of people asking me for it.
Yeah.
So I was like, you know what? I'm just going to write a book. Like, I'm that way. It's just, I don't have to, because, you know, I would take people would be like, let me take you to coffee. And I'm like, all right. And then I would literally walk them.
Yeah.
And I would walk them through the business and I'd be like, all right, so here's the first thing. Here's the second. And I did that like three times. And I was like, dude, I'm done with this. So I was like, I'm just going to write a book. So anytime anyone asks me, it's not like I'm going to be mean and say, no, I'm not going to teach you. It's more like, hey, here's the book. It's actually better than what I could teach you in an hour because it's everything. So go read it if you really want to learn.
Right.
So that, I mean, that really was the motivation. Just because I was just trying to solve a problem that I was having. I was tired of people asking me how to do it so many times. And
that,
it's funny
that is
because,
the crux. Oh, gone.
Yeah. Well, and it's funny because most of my businesses are my own problems that I was solving. Mm-hmm. Tax was a problem I had. I was like waiting, or I tried so many CPAs over the years and I'm like, freaking, hey, like I got to find one. Why is it so hard to find one? And I'm like, I'll just create it, you know, like our events, like, you know, there's lots of events. We are not the only event to go to. But, you know, when I looked at the problem with events, I'm like, well, I don't like this about events. I don't like that about events. Like there's no event that's like frequent, you know, like maybe they do it once a year, but you can't really develop community as well. Just having like one big event a year. I was like, you know what? I'm just going to make an event that's totally different. That's just going to go every quarter. They're going to be epic. They're going to be huge. We're going to have sick networking parties and like, it's going to be high level people. And it's like, it's just basically solving my own problem.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the whole thing. That's what business is. That's what entrepreneurship is. It is solving problems. That's it. Identify a problem, a pain point in the marketplace that it may or may not be addressing. And if it is addressed already, then strive to do it better. Strive to optimize. If it's never been addressed, there's two reasons why it's never been addressed. One, because it's a crappy idea and someone's tried and failed before. I've been there with my own business. Or two, you might be just stumbling upon a blue ocean in a new market and you're, you know, and that's a great place to be. But you'll never know if you don't try. Now, Mark, and we have you back here. So in parallel with ADPI and us launching all of these subsidiary services, it's a very similar situation to Ryan in that our community
was begging,
asking. They were asking questions. The listeners of this podcast, thousands of listeners of this podcast, were asking questions, and they still ask questions. And you know, I want you to kind of break down how, Mark Yen, did you decide what questions deserve the most? I don't know, action.
Yeah, I think it was twofold. It was both what are our members asking for. And what can we actually provide without like losing focus on education? Because that's our core focus. And I think, Ryan, I think you're probably, I'm curious, like I'm going to kind of flip the question back over to Ryan. Did you stumble into ever considering reputation for your brand, Pineda, as the primary concern when you're providing these services? Because our thought process was always, do we build this ourselves or do we create a relationship? What we found a lot of times is, we have some really solid relationships now after making some mistakes with other relationships. But what we found is like, you really need to trust that relationship because they are now an extension of your brand. And when you're passing your beloved members, you know, we do everything for our members. We're like, it's scary to lose that control and make sure, and you want to make sure that they're being served. You know what I mean?
Today's episode is brought to you by ADPI Lending, a full-service mortgage branch under a 2022 top-rated mortgage company, American Mortgage Network. If you're looking for financing on your first or next house hack or investment opportunity, consider scheduling a chat with one of ADPI Lending's pro loan officers. Get connected today by texting DEAL to 33777. That's DEAL to 33777. Now, let's get back to the show.
Yeah, so a couple of things. One, I don't really do a ton of affiliates to mm-hmm. your point, right? Even if you affiliate and it doesn't work out, it's kind of going back on you, right?
Right.
I mean, look what happened with everyone in FTX, you know?
Yeah.
So I would rather just promote my own stuff and things I control. Now, you know, at the end of the day, has everything I've ever done worked out great? no. Like, we've lost money. We've had tons of pissed off customers. You know, like, no one's perfect. That's the reality of running a business, especially when you're going to take massive action and try new things and innovate. Like, you are inevitably going to fail, but then there's going to be lots of successes. And ideally, the successes far outweigh the failures. So, you know, when you're talking about your reputation and everything, one thing that I know is true is, like, with your reputation, you know, it takes like a lifetime to earn and it can be lost, you know, in a second, right? So I take my reputation very seriously with everything that I do and like every business or product that I put out. And if things don't go the right way, you know, I do everything in my power to fix the situation the best of my abilities. Now, is everyone going to agree with the fix? No. People going to be mad? No. Or yeah. But at the end of the day, like,
no.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, people are going to be mad. They're, you know, you're not going to please everyone. But that's true of any business. Like, even sure. A business that's providing an amazing, like, we have in our tax business, like, we know the service we provide and we know it's great. And then there's still disgruntled people who talk crap. And you're just like, it is what it is, right? That's what running a business is all about, you know? Right. So to that end, it is a balancing game where it's like, you have to be comfortable with yourself and, you know, what you're doing and your morals and core values and everything else. And as long as you're living and, you know, operating in that way, that's all you can really do. And just kind of the cards are going to fall where they fall.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. And especially the core values part, we just kicked off our core values speech with the whole team. And it was kind of a pivotal moment for us to realize, like, wow, everything we're going to be doing now, hiring, firing, counseling, promoting, business model adjustments, all going to be based off of our core values. And we're going to, like, if something does not go right, like, we're going to bend over backwards to make it right, even if it's through an affiliate. But to your point, we are more focused on, hey, if it's something our community really wants, we're probably going to try to build it ourselves or get as close to being able to control the process or be able to step in for reputation management to make it right, at least somehow. Like, that's like our vetting thought process is so much deeper than it used to be, you know. And I've had to, like, jump on phone calls sometimes with people and be like, and say some of the most vulnerable things I've ever had to say and be like, I was out of my league. I apologize, which I think to a lot of those that might have imposter syndrome, like, it's a part of the game. Like, every single new, you know, ceiling you bust through, you're going to be out of your league. You have to learn somewhere, right? You're going to feel like you're not at that level yet, but how will you get to that level without stepping into it and learning? And I was like, I apologize. This is all the things we can do, you know, to bend over backwards and make it right. And if you're still not happy, we truly want to serve you going forward. But if you don't want to, that's fine. And that's just part of what it is, right? And I hear you on that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's part of running a business. Yeah. I mean, that's just part of running a business. Exactly right. So don't worry about that. And don't, like, think that, man, dude, I don't want people not to like me. Like, that was part of the thing when I got on social media was like, bro, not everyone's going to like you. And that's good. Actually, if people don't like you, that's good. That means you're
my wife loves it.
Yeah.
Yeah. She'll be like, oh my gosh, I pissed some people off. Now they're talking. That's more engagement on my content. Yay.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, that's crazy.
That's really cool. So if I'm going to also ask, like, okay, so ADPI, I feel like we are a few maybe years behind you, right? Maybe I think you started maybe even 7 years ahead of us. And I'm like, looking at this, I'm like, okay, we want to get to the point where right now we're implementing integrators and accountability chart and really turning from a startup to a growing company. And it's like, so that we can have this opportunity where we are more forward facing and creating more content so that I can create more than a video every other week. Right now we're building out our entire content team, having a YouTube producer, social media manager, and all this kind of stuff. So my question to you is, like, what are some of the things you've learned along the way maybe that we are still, like, going through right now? And I'll just add one more thing. Like, what I realize is, like, if I do want to be able to do this at scale, like, for example, you are, I need to focus on building out the team to be able to support me first. Would you agree with that?
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot that goes into, you know, a lot, starting even just one company, let alone multiple verticals like you guys have.
Right.
So, you know, the first thing that I'll acknowledge that you've done great is that you've already built an audience without like all these just different products to fulfill them, you know, right? Like you started with the audience first and then you thought about the products later and the businesses and all that stuff. Whereas, you know, like it's hard to get an audience. It's hard to you know, get seen on social media. It's actually easier just to go start a normal business and go that route, right? So kudos to you guys for doing like the smart thing first. Now, as far as like what verticals you're going to add and how do you build this out? Well, I'll tell you, for me, what I always teach is you hire from the top down. You know, most people when they're trying to build a business, they're like, all right, well, I need a sales guy. I need a project manager. I need an admin. And so they're going to go hire five people and then they're going to manage those five people themselves. And for me, I was always like, well, dude, I just need one person. Let me get one guy who I can depend on and let him do the rest, right? Or woman, right? And so they're in charge for hiring the sales team. They're in charge for managing them and operating the day-to-day, because no business will succeed if I have to do it. I got too many other things going on. So I won't start anything unless I have that person in place. So, you know, I think hiring top down is very important. And even like when you're first starting out, you know, hiring a very high level person as your first hire is very important, right? Like you don't want to go hire some cheap guy off the street just because like you need a task done. Like I want somebody who's hungry and dependable and can fill lots of different roles in the company, since we're all going to be sitting in multiple seats starting out. And so you kind of get like what we would call a generalist first, who's handling lots of things. And then as you scale, you start to get specialists who are just very good at one thing. This guy's so good at marketing. That's all he does. This guy's so good at sales. That's all he does. You know, that's but exactly as entrepreneur, true. Yeah. Yeah. And yeah. As entrepreneurs, like we start out doing all those things. Like I'm very good at sales. I'm very good at marketing. I don't do them day to day anymore. I let guys who are actually as good or better than me handle those now. Doesn't mean I can't do it, but you know, I just don't have to. It's not the best use of my time anymore. And so now the best use of my time is, you know, being innovative, thinking of ways to, you know, improve the companies or launch new ones, you know, creating content and bringing attention to what we're doing, you know, building new relationships with higher level people that we could potentially partner with. Like those are the best uses of my time.
Right. You're the visionary. And I, like when you're talking about generalists, it's funny. Like I remember Kevin, there was a hurricane that blew through New Orleans when I lived there, and Kevin flew in and he was doing the podcast and helping coach one of our programs. But then he stepped in and was like, okay, I was like, hey man, like, can you learn how to do marketing and webinars as well? And then he's helping other people learn this. So he was a lot of our team members stepped in with that entrepreneurial mindset. And so the way I kind of tried to get everybody together and gravitate towards, I'd be like, let's all learn let's be generalists together and then hire specialists as we scale. And so like, for example, now we just hired a really high dollar SEO person because none of us are that good at SEO, right?
Yeah.
But I got us to a certain point to where we got certain organic traffic, and that was great. I built our first website, but now I'm like, I can't do that anymore. And, you know, now we have three main programs and Kevin's going to step up and start training our new program managers on how to, you know, run the webinars and run the coaching, you know, all that kind of stuff. So it is so cool to watch. And I don't know, I'm looking at how you're at that next level, and it's been just, it's like, I almost see where we're going next, and it's just a really cool experience for us. And then you're talking about events, like, dude, we had our first in-person event last year and it knocked our socks off. Like we got like goosebumps. Like
we literally thought like no one was going to show up. Like the doors were going to open and it was going to be like, you know, those like videos, like the Grant Cardone events. It's like thousands of people outside, the music's pumping and all this stuff, and the doors open, everyone rushes in. Like we had the same thing. The doors open. We're like, we were thinking we're going to have like that John Travolta meme where he's just like, but to our surprise, so many people came. And like, we literally had people crying in the audience, and it was incredible.
I had a 16-year-old come up who was filling out their like the goal sheet that we made, that he filled out side by side with his dad, came up in tears and was like, hey man, I had to run to the restroom because I was crying. Like, I'm so motivated to move forward. I can't wait to, and it was just like, because the military mindset a lot of times, and this is what crushed me, was, is sometimes like there's an agenda that the military has, right? You need to be the best war fighter and you need to win wars, right? It's not necessarily in their interest to make you a millionaire, which makes sense. I don't fault that. But what ends up happening as a symptom, as a byproduct, is sometimes your mentors take that a little too far and you get indoctrinated into like a little bit of a scarcity mindset. They tell you, don't get credit cards, don't buy a car, don't get a lease. Like, I'm like, can I just make more money and have those things? You know, maybe if I make more money, I'll be able to not worry about money all the time and I'll be a better military officer or enlisted person, you know? And so having, just seeing that, you know, and now we're going to have our second event in San Antonio. And it's like within 3 days, we sold out 3 different tiers of tickets. We're like, okay, you know, we busted through that ceiling. And I remember you talking about how you just like sold out your Tykes stuff. And I was just like, oh my God, like seeing that and then us hitting that, I'm like, it's just a cool, surreal moment. I don't know.
Yeah. Now I'll tell you guys this, man. Yeah. When you're starting a business, taking the first initial risk is the hardest part. Right. And so, you know, it's like, man, it's so foreign. It's so new. It's like, man, okay, everyone here is military. Right. So it's like, man, what's your first freaking like year like in the military, that first boot camp? Like it's crazy. But then, you know, you go do 5 of them and, you know, you're 5 years in, 10 years in, you're like, yeah, I get it. You know,
I get it.
You know what to expect. And that's kind of how business is. It's like, man, buying that first real estate deal is super nerve wracking. You know, after 10, you're like, all right, I mean, I get it. I got to go and do this. And it's pretty standard at this point. And that's kind of how business feels for me. It's like, yeah, you know, I've built businesses. I've built 7- and 8-figure businesses. Haven't built a 9-figure business yet, but I'm sure I will at some point here soon. And, you know, that business will come with new things that I just don't know yet. And once I get there, I'll have done it. And then it'll make it easier to do it again at some point.
Didn't somebody challenge you to start a $1 billion business? Am I remembering that correctly?
Yeah. I mean, multiple people have. Grant Cardone was one of the, Brad Lee first said it, and then Cardone said it. And, you know, here's the thing, guys. Like I was saying before, I never wanted to be an entrepreneur. I never really cared to, you know, have a certain amount of rental properties or to have a certain amount of wealth or anything. Like, I honest, truthfully, like I was good playing minor league baseball, you know, making 30 grand a year. Like, it wasn't where I wanted to be, but like I was fine. And I did that for years. And it wasn't until I got married that I was like, man, I got to actually make some more money now. That's not about me. And you know, that's kind of what motivated me to start couch flipping and like making more, because I was content just doing what I was doing before that. But, you know, as you start hanging around new people, you start to think differently. And so, you know, over the years, I've entered new circles each year. Right. And so when I was first starting flipping houses, like the circle I entered was like guys who had already flipped like 10. And I'm like, dude, these guys are making a few $100,000 a year. This is nuts. And like, dude, I'm like, tell me how you did it. Oh man, this is crazy, right? And then, you know, I reach that level. And then I'm like, okay. Then I find guys who are doing 50 a year. And then I go to my first mastermind where there's guys who, you know, have hundreds of rental units. I'm like, wow, this is crazy. Like, how do you start a fund? Like, how are you managing that many people? And like, so you're just kind of like starstruck. And then you figure it out, right? And then, you know, I remember when I got into the digital space, because that was all foreign to me. Like I'd conquered my real estate goals. And obviously there's still way more real estate goals, right? Like I, you know, my name's not on buildings yet, right? Like I don't have the Trump Towers. So like there's levels to whatever it is you're going after. But I had reached my real estate goals. I was like, I want to flip 100 houses a year. And like, that's good with me. And, you know, I'm going to start a fund and we're going to go buy hundreds of apartments. And I don't have a goal of like, oh, I need 10,000 units by this date. I'm like, dude, as they come along, they'll come along. I'm not super worried about it. But like when I got into the digital space, I had like new big goals. I was like, okay, I need to get this many views. I need to get this many followers. Like these are the benchmarks I want to hit. And I just remember when I first heard guys who were making 6 figures a month from YouTube, I was like, holy crap, they make 6 figures a month in sponsors and ad revenue. This is crazy. And right. I was like, man, that's nuts. Like if I could, if I can make $1 million a year digitally, that'd be nuts. And then I meet guys who are doing $1 million a month. And I was like, you make $1 million a month selling courses and stuff? I was like, what? That's crazy. And you know, like it's mind blowing at first. And then you hang around them long enough and you see what they do and all this. And you're just like, it's actually not that crazy. Like, I understand how you do it now. It's not rocket science.
It's like a 4 minute mile, right? What was that? Yeah. Like as soon as you know, as soon as one person broke it, and gosh, I can't remember his name off the top of my head. Like all of a sudden, you know, you get more people doing it. It's just like, as soon as it's the mental thing, right?
It is like your mind just open, and then it becomes like normal. And it's like, you know, I remember when we had our first $1 million month, like it made me reflect. I was like, wow, I remember like when I first even thought it was possible, when I had saw somebody else doing it with my own eyes. And by the way, side note, that is a huge benefit of going to events like yours or mine. The information itself is great, but there's something that happens to you internally when you see somebody else like face to face who has done what you're trying to do. Like it becomes
where
real.
You want to be. Like
it becomes real. Like if you see me online, it's cool. You're like, I know he's doing whatever he's doing, but like you see me in person and I'm telling you how I did and I'm showing you and like I'm answering questions and having back and forth, it now immediately becomes real. So, you know, for me, going back to the whole billionaire thing, I had never aspired to do that. But guess what? Like I've started to hang around quite a few billionaires. And I'm seeing like, oh, how did you become a billionaire? How'd you do it? You know, like, okay. And then like, I look at the trajectory and I start seeing where I'm missing and where they're at. And I'm like, okay, the gap, you know, it's big right now, but it's not like just this foreign thing that I have no idea how to get there. Like there's a very clear plan. And if there's a plan, then, you know, it's just all about execution at that point.
Yeah. Yeah. It's speed of implementation. And I think that's really a great tip for folks. Cause a lot of listeners of this podcast, Ryan, they're facing a transition. You know, the military is a 20-year career, right? And you get a pension after it and then you're left. I mean, some people, they're out of the military at 38 years old, sometimes 37. That is young, right?
Yeah.
You can start multiple businesses or you can go work for someone else, or you could do whatever you want with the rest of your life. I mean, you're still looking at least 20 to maybe 30 years of working life. So what are you going to do? And having that knowledge of what we talked about in this podcast so far of starting businesses, and it's not being overly difficult. It's hanging around the people, you know, that are where you want to be, or at least where you think you want to be. Understanding that business is just a series of systems where you pull levers left, right, and center to go and get you to where you want to be, and then implementing quickly. And taking the risk, taking the leap of faith, knowing that, yeah, this is going to be scary, but it's going to be okay. And it, you know, the world is not going to end. And, you know, when you flip that switch in your mind, at least for me personally, and I'm Marky, and I'm sure you as well, at this point in my entrepreneurial world, it's scarier for me not to try something new that I think I can succeed at than it is for me to actually take that leap of faith. And I know that sounds crazy to listeners out there, but a switch flips and you start to understand what true opportunity is and what's at your feet and how to scale, grow, and ultimately serve those who you want to serve. And I think that's a powerful thing that ADPI is doing. I think it's a powerful thing that you've done in all of your businesses that you've put together. And it's quite commendable, man. And you know, when you're a billionaire, just think about the little people.
I'll show you guys it's real. I'll be like, remember when we were doing this podcast? Like, yeah. I was telling you. But no, like to the point what you're saying, like, you know, the audience at 38, if you're retired from the military with 20 years and like you got a pretty nice pension and benefits and all that stuff, like, you know, you basically have no risk at that point, you know? And the thing I'll say too is like, you know, 20 years in the military will build up your skills to be a great operator or visionary. Like you just, there are things you'll learn there that you just can't learn else. Like my baseball career gave me skills that no one else has in business, that it's not even like necessarily the skills, but like the mental toughness to do something that's really hard that very few in the world can do.
To probably fail a lot, right? To learn.
To fail all the time, to go through crap, to make no money and pursue a dream. Like very few people do. Like people complain about, you know, think about it. Like that, if you have a job that doesn't make enough money, what are you doing? You're like thinking about, oh, well, what's the next job I can get that's better than this?
The grass is always greener.
For me, I was like, there's no other path. I'm going to have to eat crap for the next however many years to reach my goal. And that is what it is. And I did that for 8 seasons, you know, as I was like, you do that for 8 seasons of making no money, putting your body through wear and tear, being away from your family. Like you develop mental toughness that allows you to fail and not worry about it.
You got that. And I'll also say, grit.
Yeah. And I'll also say, like, going back to being around bigger thinkers, it's like, I remember when I got drafted and like I was around the big leaguers and I got to see how good they were. I'm like, whoa, there's a gap between like where they are today and how far I've got to go to get to where they're at. And like, it didn't intimidate me. It just made me like, okay, like this is what I got to do. And it made it real of like, these guys, I've seen them on TV for forever. I grew up watching these guys and he's right in front of me talking to me now. Like, this is crazy. And you know, in the military, it's like, I don't know if this is true or not, just going off the assumption, but like, you know, the SEALs are like so regarded as like being the elite of the elite. And it's like, dude, if you only hung around the SEALs all day, you would be elite too, or you wouldn't be around. Right.
Right. So basically was saying like, it's like, it's humbling, but it makes it more tangible. You see the gap and you're like, hey, if I really want that, like, this is what I need to do now. Right.
This is what the best looks like. This is what world class looks like.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
makes it more real. Yeah.
Well, yeah, it's more real. It's more tangible. But it, like you said, Ryan, earlier, the veil of, I don't know, social media, like that gap that exists between, you know, people, you know, your favorite so-and-so on social media who's doing all this stuff and has the TikToks and the reels and all that stuff. When you see that person in real life, and you're surrounding themselves, that veil dissipates. And then you can say like, oh, okay, just like you said, here's the gap. And that's okay that there's a gap. And then it's acquiring the knowledge on how to, not only how to close that gap, but who do I need in my network to close that gap faster? And then it's just a series of decisions, make the plan and execute. And we're making it sound very, very easy right now, but we all know that your network is your net worth. I mean, that's standard, right? So if you want to grow your net worth and you're hanging around people who are making, you know, not a lot of money and they're goofing off, then you're setting yourself up for failure. So taking that social risk is something that a lot of people don't talk about in the entrepreneurial world. It's not just financial risk. It's taking that social risk to put yourself out there and to go and chase and find success. Dude, Ryan, we've been talking for a minute now, man. And I love this. I love, you know, picking your brain and taking you out for coffee. Markian, I want to give you a chance, maybe a last word to talk with, maybe get one more question in for Ryan here.
Yeah. Honestly, I don't have any more questions other than just, it's been a pleasure, Ryan. I think I was on this podcast because I was so excited. Like, typically this is Kevin doing these. And when Eric, who's our VP of business development, got in touch with your team and you got on this podcast, Eric is like, dude, you have to be on there. Like, this is the guy you watch and look up to kind of drive our social media forward this year. And so for me, this is just a big, even though I'm not there in person, this is kind of a tangible bridging the gap type of mental step for me. Like, I wanted to make sure I'm on here. I wanted to hear it from the horse's mouth. I wanted to have a conversation about how you built your business and how we're building ours. Because I think one of the things I've been so scared of is like early on is like admitting that we're a business, we make money, especially in the veteran space. Veterans sometimes like, oh, wait, you're a veteran making money off of veterans? That's kind of slimy. It's like, no, like the reason we are making money is because we're providing 10x the value, right? We are actually changing people's lives. And I know you've seen that in your business and it's just been such a great opportunity to connect and hear how your mindset is on the next goal and what you're going to be doing. So thank you. I appreciate your time.
Yeah. No, I appreciate you guys having me. I love what you're doing, man. I love anybody that's putting out great content and helping people. And I would just encourage you guys to keep it going, keep leveling up the content, keep putting out more, you know, to your point, you know, like there's always going to be people who don't resonate with it, and that's okay. Even the same people you're trying to really help, and that's fine. So just stay with it.
Yeah. Yeah. That's something that, you know, we always say it in ADPI that right now is the hockey stick moment. And we just had, you know, for our listeners who don't understand SEO, but search engine optimization, we had our SEO guy come on and say, and literally look at the organic growth. And we've already hit in 1 month, we've hit our quarterly goal on organic growth. And it's crazy because like, you just don't really understand how the back end of that works. And even he said, he was like, wow, like I've never worked for a company that has this much potential. And you hear that, and from our perspective, we're like, oh, cool, like numbers and growth and websites, and that's fun. But the real potential that he's talking about is the potential to help millions of veterans and active duty service members. And that's what we're all about. So Ryan, you're a huge influence, man. Keep on keeping on. And I'm sure we will have you come back on the show when you're a billionaire.
Yes.
There we go. Maybe let's, you know, step by step, 100 millionaire first, and then, you know.
Okay. All right. Well, let's book that. So next week? Is that next week?
Next week I'll be there, and we'll re-up, and I'll tell you everything I learned in the last
week. In the last week. Everything you learned in the last week. All right. All right. You've heard it here first. It's a weekly show. We got Ryan Pinnett. No, I'm just playing. All right, man. I appreciate it, dude.
Appreciate you guys.
Another amazing episode in the books. Thanks so much to our special guest, and thank you for listening. Don't forget to tap the subscribe button now to make sure you don't miss an episode. Or head over to our website at www.activedutypassiveincome.com to grab all of our free resources and discover how you can get started on your financial freedom journey today.